Hello, and welcome to the Game Slate Podcast, episode 163. I'm Proteus.
I'm Zelda Queen.
I'm Rocky's magic number.
Assimilator is away this week. And so, we're going to just discuss a little bit about some games that we've been playing, and some of them are going to be a bit old, but it's okay.
We're always late to the bandwagon, I feel, anymore. I just can't keep up.
Yeah. So, a few months back, Assimilator bought Torchlight 2 for Zelda Queen and I. Because we've been like, oh, we want to buy it, but don't want to spend monies. So he spent his monies. Which is kind of funny. But anyway. Yeah, it's good. It's fun. It's better than Diablo 3, honestly, I think. At least it had a better plot.
I'm so disappointed that you forget, like, oh, yeah. We did both buy Diablo 3. I spent $120 for a game I don't play with anybody now.
I heard that vibe from a lot of people about Diablo 3, and maybe, again, the, like, the bandwagon and all that, but, like, my IT guy at work loves, he has a couple max level characters on World of Warcraft, so he clearly knows how to do the MMOs, and he said he got Diablo 3, and it was fun, he guesses, and just, so he doesn't really play it anymore.
I don't know what it was about it, I just felt, like, now just kind of reflecting back, I'm like, there's something missing, but I don't know exactly what. Because I remember when Diablo 2 started getting some buzz while we were in high school. I can't remember if it was junior or senior. I think it was junior year. And all these other people were talking about it. So I convinced my brother to buy it for our PC. And he did. Which is really funny. Because he was like, oh, it's kind of an MMO. I'm like, no, I'm like, it's kind of like an action RPG. You'll like it. And he did. So, yeah, we would take turns playing it. We both had different characters and such. And we loved it. I mean, I finished the game, and I finished the expansion, and I kept kind of playing it. I wasn't a farmer for the best equipment in the highest max level, but I think my highest character was well into, like, the mid to high 70s, almost 80s. I don't know, I just really enjoyed it.
Diablo 2 had some, I think maybe it was the first, I don't know, I can't really speak to that, I haven't really played too many MMOs. Something about Diablo 2, because it was MMO without being MMO.
I liked that I could play by myself, and it wouldn't impact anything, but if I wanted to, you know, play with my friends through, you know, the Battle.net thing, I could. But it wasn't a hampering to either side. I just never liked doing the hardcore where other people could kill your character and take all your stuff.
Whenever you went to the big public worlds, you take one step out of the camp, like the rogues camp, and the entire field is just littered with ears. Like, as far as I can see, every square is glittering because there are ears, and that, you know, counts as treasure. But when I look at it, it's like, oh my god, there's like 10 ears here. Oh my god, they're everywhere. Because people just do all their PvP in there. I always hated it when I'm like, no, I'm really not PvPing, I just want to go to this level and do stuff. And then somebody's like, ah, challenge you. You're fucking doing it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Town portal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I never liked the PvP aspect. Because you always get that one person who just, you know, has everything and then just, like, insta-kill you. They just have to look at you, your character's dead.
It's like that episode of South Park about World of Warcraft. Do you guys ever see that one?
I watched it once a long time ago. All I can remember is how big Cartman got sitting there at the game and they're all in the basement screaming at each other what they need to do.
Exactly.
But that's the best way to do it. If you're going to game as a group, it's best to get as much of the people in one room as you can.
Yeah, because Ventrilo is okay, but it's not the same as,
because we always, like, Proteus and I are always
out of the fire,
you know by each slap other, you know, sort of thing. And then it was really interesting when we got back home, because we would be down, we were living with my parents in their basement, so we'd be downstairs in the basement on our computers, while upstairs would be my dad and my brother, and we were 4 out of the 5 people for the group. So we could even yell at each other through the floor. It was just much easier to use mics, but we really had to say, Dad, get out of the fire! Strafe left! Your other left! He got better. I mean, hey, let's put it this way. How many people can could say that their dads like to actively play in lows with them.
Yeah.
And actually could get their, you know, max level character and kind of know what gear to look for and that sort of stuff.
I guess one of the things I like with Torchlight 2 is that they give us the way the trees are set up, you can basically take any character and put them in kind of one of the, you know, three roles, basically. You know, damage dealing, you know, basically, you know, melee with
damage.
Big damage dealing, range damage dealing, or sort of more defendy. With, I think, any of the classes, basically.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just picked one thing. So, like, the first thing I got was Rapid Shot, which lowers enemies' armor and does a percentage of damage based on whatever damage I can put out. And so I'm just like, oh, this sounds cool. I'll just keep putting all my points into this. And I'm kind of glad because the tree also, too, I always like doing dual-wielding pistols with the character. And there's a Kimbo, which is like, the more you dual-wield, the more you get chances of using both of your guns at the same time instead of, you know, firing one and firing the other. And, yeah, I mean, I also like the fact in this one, okay, the thing about Diablo 2 and other things is you take all the gems and stuff them into that Horadric cube and darn it, you're going to get the best gems that you possibly can. It just takes forever and ever and ever. Well, Torchlight also introduced that. You can go to the Enchanter and stick all your gems and keep getting, I mean, that's basically my box. It's just
filled
with gems.
Keep getting better and better gems by cramming them together.
What's special about chips in Diablo 2? Like chip gems or something?
They were currency, basically. They're the lowest level gem, but people would use them as currency to trade with each other.
Well, yeah, because after the after all the Hackstone and Jordans came to them, because those used to be the currency, and I'm sitting there with my buddy like, are we really talking about inflation in Diablo 2 on the Stone of Jordan ring? Really? This is what's going... Okay. But I thought that was one of the, like, special things you could only do with chip... You couldn't do them with regular gems. You could do them with chip gems. It was some sort of melding in the queue.
Oh, yeah. There was a, what was it? Like, adding sockets, I think?
That might be it. Something like that.
Oh. I can't remember.
I think they were in the, like, the add socket recipe, maybe. I can't remember. I didn't get into.
I didn't really get into a lot of stuff. I didn't really know about that until a few years later when there's still people doing it. I did work with a guy who, that is how he made a lot of money. Actually, was going through and maxing out characters and selling them to business types who are like just wanting to get through the game as quickly as possible. Mm. So he would do that. He would grind characters and equipment and just, you know, sell his efforts.
I still don't understand how that works. I just don't. Like, the fact that there's real money being exchanged on eBay for the epic whatever, you know, the uber sort of uberness.
Well, Blizzard finally decided to get in on that, because that's why, at least in Diablo 3, the auction house
actually...
They got
rid of that now.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. They just got recently got rid of it. They did have a real money aspect to the auction house. You could actually put items up for real money and actually get real money back from them. And I think it's just because Blizzard took a cut of it. They finally realized, like, well, if you guys are going to be selling all this stuff, kind of breaking the user agreement really bad, at least let us set it up so you can do it legally through us, but we get a portion of, you know, whatever we make.
It's like a poker game in the casino. The house isn't technically bet, but they take a rake off of it.
Yeah, so...
That's clever.
But I'm enjoying Torchlight because I'm like, it's easy to pick up and play. Like, I don't have to remember everything that's kind of been going on. Yes, there's a bit of a plot, but it's not. I just want to go out there and kill monsters as fast as possible. That's what it is, to make my character look cool.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Click, 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 click.
Lots of click, 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 click. Lots of me like, oh gosh, I hit shift tab again, go away, like, friend screen, I'm trying to kill something here. Because I hold shift a lot, which keeps your character in place in Torchlight 2.
Because you're ranged.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm doing this, I'm like, click, 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 run around, hit the next guy, hit the next guy, hit the next guy.
I'm trying not to get too close, I'm just trying to keep in range. And then I'm like, I picked up a new thing called Cursed Daggers. Like, I have one thing that lowers armor, but then now I have another attack that lowers enemies' attack damage. So it's really a good balance. I make you weaker, and I make sure you don't hurt me quite as bad. But I have to remember to left up shift to hit tab to hold down shift again. Otherwise, yeah, I get the friend character screen on Steam.
That's annoying.
And you can't do anything, and everything's still happy. You're like, oh gosh, my character's gonna die now.
One of the fun things I like about Torchlight is the pets that have.
Yes! Pets, my pack mule, my pack kitten, technically.
And it's fun that they added a lot of different ones now, because before they just had, you know, cat and dog.
Yeah, cat and dog.
And now they have, oh man, what else did they have?
Cats and dogs and hawks, owls. One of my characters now has an owl, badger, head crab.
Yeah, deer.
Deer.
Which is what I took.
There's a Pomeranian.
Oh, yeah, there are specific types of dogs. There's a Pom, a bulldog. I can't remember all of them. There were dozens, like two dozen probably, pet choices.
Yeah, so that's kind of... But your pet's awesome because you can actually say, here, pet, hold all this crappy stuff. And then once the pet gets full, you're like, go sell that for me. He's like, okay. And he goes and takes off the town for a couple minutes. And he comes back and says, here's your money.
Nice.
And you can fill him up again.
Hopefully he's not getting swindled. If a golden retriever came into town with a bunch of merchandise on his back, I just don't know how fair of a price I could give him. I really don't.
And it's like, am I just giving this money to you? And is your master dead on his adventuring quest? We won't know until you go back.
I'm just trying to buy that baked beans recipe off of him.
Yeah, and I don't know. I like, you know, the aesthetic that, you know, Torchlight 2 has. It's kind of like Diablo 2.5 got all the darkness.
Okay. Now, Diablo 2 got a little heavy sometimes. It's like going back and playing, like, Doom 2 late at night, and you just, like, walk out, like, I really think Satan's in this room with me right now. I've been looking at bleeding, rammed horn demons coming off the wall and shooting things for the last 7 hours. I need an exorcism.
Well, Diablo 2 is literally darkness, like...
You just
couldn't see. It was like you had like this little radius around you that you could see if you were underground.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And there was no other light source. Which led to the hilarious thing when there were items that gave, you know, +2 to light radius.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's great.
God, that's been so long.
I can see Diablo before he hits me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be always able to see Diablo? He's like on fire, isn't he usually?
His area was lit. Honestly, it was the one that I remember were always the like bug tunnels in Act 2. Because they never had any lights in them because they're bug tunnels. There's not like candelabras in them.
Yeah, or torches on the walls or that sort of stuff. Act 2 never really bothered me too much. It was Act 4.
Act 4 was hell.
Yeah.
Act 3, the jungle. Hated the jungle.
All the little dudes in the mask shooting stuff.
Pygmies. Oh, God.
Pygmies, yeah.
My brother and I
always called them Tommyknockers. And I don't know why. Because I know what a Tommyknocker really is. You know, little sprite devils that live
in mines.
Mines. But for some reason, that and Zombies Ate My Neighbors for the Super Nintendo, the little doll guys that had the axes, we always called them Tommyknockers, too.
Okay.
Just because they were short and annoying, and that's why anything that's short and annoying little devil things are Tommyknockers, regardless if that's even true.
And especially when you find like the mega chieftain, because like they'd have the adjectives in front of them that would kind of be like, oh, this guy's going to be extra hard. Oh, and he's red. That means he breathes fire, too. This is going to be
electric shock
ones. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The shocking ones are the worst.
Oh, my
Freezy
God.
Ones are kind of bad, but shock ones are the worst.
Shock and quick.
Those quicks are impossible. Like, God, no, come back, moving your mouse everywhere.
We're reminiscing.
I think, what was the first thing that always had, I think that always had shock was like Rockinichu, the one special imp.
Yeah.
That was by the like teleportation stones or whatever.
Yeah, which
was always lightning and chant. Always.
And all the little mini joys run around going, Rockinichu! Oh my gosh, wow, this is like, I'm like, memories of like dorm room bunk beds flooding back to me right now. Stealing freaking, oh god, my buddy actually went to a Best Buy and would steal the registration codes. He'd get the serial keys off them and like, just, he's like, what's the worst that's gonna happen? Like, person buys it, their registration key doesn't work, they call Blizzard, Blizzard's like, oh, that sucks, and gives them a new one, and that was his rationale. I'm like, wow, we're totally stealing video games. This is not okay. All the memories, and then my roommate did the Mephisto bot like we were talking about earlier, and those of you who don't know what the Mephisto bot was, you install a little app that will run Diablo, and it takes your best character and goes to Mephisto's realm and the hardest level you can make it, just runs down there, kills Mephisto, and tries to harvest the best drops, and then Regis, once it gets everything it wants, it quits the game, starts over again, goes back into the same thing, does it again and again and again. So he's getting all this cool stuff, and then one day he got his computer and he's like, hey, what happened to all my equipment? That's because he left his character wide open to the Mephisto bot. Someone hacked the Mephisto bot and then stole all the stuff. Which I find hilarious.
And this is why WoW, I have a blog, many, you know, different character, password, and authenticator. I don't really have anything cool on my character. It's just, I really want you to have to work at it a little bit. And I never got into all the crazy stuff, because by the time I realized there's all this extra, like, yeah, when we were talking about inflation and currencies and stuff in Diablo, I was like, really? This exists? Like, it's just a game, guys! Really?
Well, basically, gold was worthless. No one would take gold as a way to pay for it.
Well, most of the good stuff, you couldn't buy anything good with the gold.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was, you know, after a certain point, it's just like, why do you even drop gold? It's, like, no use to me.
Yeah, you can get the gold, but, like, you can just go out there and kill a whole bunch of little baddies and you can equip yourself just as well as the store could get you, although... Once in a while, you can never buy the cool stuff from the store as a problem. You can get, like, the basic ones, like, and then you can craft and blacksmith and do all the crazy crap, too, but... Nope, it was all just basic stuff at the store. You couldn't ever buy the magic things.
I mean, the only way to get decent stuff at the store was the gambler.
Yes.
But...
It's a gamble! Yeah.
I don't think they had, like, set items or anything. Yeah.
I wonder if they had cow bots, too. Because remember the secret cow level? Moo, 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 moo. And then you go kill the cow king, and it's like the best way to level up. You get someone to do a hell rush with you to take you through the entire, all five worlds, and you just kind of sit there and, like, shudder and just kind of follow the guy around, and he kills everything in your vicinity and beats the game for you. You just sit there and reap the experience. But then you have all five levels of... Or all three levels, with a normal heart, normal... Something
Nightmare in hell.
Yeah. Once you have beaten hell, you can go to the secret cow level. So you have this level 12 character who just got experience because you were part of the party that was rushing the game. And then you just go and hide in the secret cow level and join a party, and you just gain levels like that. Kind of makes you wonder what the point of the game is, but all right, now I have the best character possible. Okay, what are you gonna do with him now? I don't know.
Gotta grind equipment.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you kind of forgot the part where you play the game. That part was really fun, too.
Which is why I don't worry about it. So, like, I'm never going to get all the best, awesome equipment in any game ever. It's just, not unless I really want to work at it. Or in the case of, at least, like, with Guild Wars, you can buy some nicer equipment and such. Not tons, but yeah. I've just, you know, assigned myself to the fact I'm never going to do it, so I don't worry about it and don't freak out when I don't have the best of the best of the best. Because otherwise I just start losing enjoyment. It becomes like work. Which is part of sometimes towards the end of WoW, especially, I was losing interest. Because I'd have to work and work and work. It's like, okay, I remember us being in Shadowmoon Valley... grinding air elementals for, you know, little elemental air bits. You could get motes. If you got motes of air, it took 10 motes of air to cram together to get one element. But some of these things you needed like 10, 20, 30 of the elements to make a piece of equipment. And after a while, you're just like, I'm doing circuits. I remember doing, like, mining circuits. I would just go to, like, in Wrath of the Lich King, and I forget which zone it's in now. It's been a couple years since I played. It's where the Lich King, you know, lives. His castle's there, the citadel's there. Yeah. But yeah, I had a circuit all Ice mapped Crown. Up. Ice Crown, thank you. And I would just make circuits on my flying mount, getting materials, and I'm like, what am I doing this? I've been doing this, like, 2 hours this morning.
Or even someone for lower level, when you get to some of the weird stuff that wants you to get, like, the level one herbalism stuff, or the, you know, scratchy wool cloth fragments and stuff like that, and you can always go get the bolts or whatever if you actually have to use it for your class skill or profession or whatever it was. But, like, I forgot what it was you needed those really, really basic items for, but you could sell them for so much in the auction house because they were part of some more advanced crafting or something.
Oh, often it was just people trying
blacksmithing,
to...
blacksmithing, maybe.
Just people trying to level their, like crafting skills. Like, some people will level up their character with just gathering skills and just make money.
Yeah.
Just collect things, sell them. And then they get to, and then you get to high level, and it's like, okay, now I want to actually have the crafting professions because I want to have the equipment that it gets that...
Exactly.
...that you can only have access to with the profession. You can't have someone else make it for you because part of the requirements to wear the helmet of whatever is to know how to make the helmet of whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I even though a lot of times I was a tank, I would purposely pick up enchanting and tailoring, and I know that's weird, but you can get some really super nice enchants that you can only do to yourself. Like, I could enchant rings, but you can only enchant rings if you're an enchanter. And you only enchanters can wear the enchanted rings. And other trinkets and such that enchanters can make. You know, there were some really nice ones. And sometimes I was like, there's better armor drops from certain enemies than some of these more specialty things. At least that's kind of how I felt. So I would do that. Also, I hated paying lots of money for bags.
Mm. Isn't it kind of funny how we got to the point inside of a game where we're kind of drawing satisfaction from working a fake job? I run around the boring areas, and because work is boring, and then I pick up, find, like, you know, copper. Hooray, we're going to mine some copper now, and then we're going to go do something with it. But, like, could we be making, like, real money by going to real work for this instead of, no, okay, we're going to pay them to work. And then I do it too, and I just kind of caught myself. I'm like, all right, I think we're done playing World of Warcraft forever now.
I feel like World of Warcraft jumped the shark when it's like, this is Pandora. I'm like, no. Oh, no. No, you did not. I did not want to see pandas.
Mm-hmm.
It was a funny little joke, haha, sort of thing, and now that you're making it legit, just sort of takes the whole fun out of it.
It was a joke from the World of Warcraft 3 expansion, where they're all, like, drunk and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've been told that it was one of the...
It was an April Fool's joke.
Then
it became a mercenary hero in Warcraft 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
basically.
I think they got the April Fool's joke because one of the character designers, somebody on the art team, basically did it as a ha-ha, as a card for one of his kids for their birthday.
Oh, really?
And then he had shown it around, or she, I don't know who, and they're like, oh, that's kind of cool, let's put it as April Fool's joke, and they did.
And now it's Mr. Bandera, that's insanity.
Yeah, and it's just...
This is why I play different kind of time-consuming games.
This is why I've been, you know, sunk 75 hours into, or more than 75 hours now, into Fire Emblem. It's been frustrating me. Okay, so you get towards... I'm, like, at the very end of the game. I think I'm at the very last stage. Because it says, in-game, Grima. I'm like, okay, this is the decisive battle. I'm not ready to do it yet because I just don't want the game to end. But I got this downloadable stuff from the Street Pass where you can get some characters who... I don't know how they survived... You know, the characters that you've encountered earlier that you don't think actually made it, but apparently they do. So you can collect them and add them to your team. I have been struggling with each and every one. I finally finished one because I'm like, okay, apparently I'm being too bold. I'm just going to be ultra conservative on this one. And I finally won. So I almost biffed again at the end because I did not realize one of my characters was really low on hit points, and everybody, the bad guys are all like, oh, we're on flying units, we're gonna go attack him with magic. And I'm like, oh no, he's going to die. And I'm like, okay, you're with a person, dodge, like you've never dodged before. And he did, he dodged everything.
The issue with Fire Emblem is that if a character dies, they are dead forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's
heartbroken.
It's like Final Fantasy Tactics, except dead is dead.
Yeah. Unless you do casual mode, and then nobody dies, you're just knocked out. But as, you know, Hummingbird will point out, that is not the true spirit of Fire Emblem. You rage reset and start it over again. Because it never was an option. This is the first, Fire Emblem where they added an option for a casual play. So if your characters do die on the battlefield, they just get knocked out. And they're there when you go to, you know, exit the map once you've finished. But no, the real version is if you plan poorly and they die, they're dead. Because everyone's a special, unique snowflake. They all have different personalities and characteristics, and you don't want to kill them. Some characters you don't really care about, but some other characters you really do. You're invested. What? All I know too is I have like 50 backlog, like 50 team backlog of Street Pass people I gotta get through still. You meet other people's teams through the Street Pass, and so they populate on your map, and you can like trade with them or recruit the leader characters from them, or you can fight against them. But it's kind of fun because then you get renown, and renown gets you bonus items. So I'll stop talking now.
I plan to go get a DS and just kind of like wander around Comic-Con. Not even go to Comic-Con. Just walk along the sidewalk for about half an hour and be like, yes. Look at all the things that I've gleaned from these people. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. I get in my car and drive away twirling my mustache. I don't even like comics. Ha ha ha. I've just reaped the Nintendo DS benefits. Ha ha ha.
That's what it's like. That E3, everybody has... Indiecade, though, man, it was just, like, thick. I got over, like, 500 people. Because I only had, like, maybe 60 or 70 from, like, Comic-Con. But Indiecade was constant. Everybody had their Game Boy.
Nice.
So that's what we've been doing. The only other thing I've done is watch Attack on Titan. And I was right! I can't tell you guys, because you guys have not watched anything. Not my speculation of what I think was going on was correct, and I'm all like, there is something bigger going on. And I'm like, okay, so I gotta see what the next episode is, which I can watch tomorrow. But I won't tell you what it is. Well, because you guys haven't watched it. Big spoilers.
I've been watching QI, a British quiz show, like now.
Oh, we used to watch that when we were in New Zealand.
I'm in season G. somewhere right now, and I'm getting to that point of pressure. I'm watching the XL episodes, which are the unedited ones that have like all the conversation and all the jokes, and it's like, I want to be on the panel. This is fun. Like, yeah, especially when he's asking questions, I'm like, I know the answer to that. Let me expound my wisdom upon you. Oh, you guys answered it and didn't go into any detail. I'm calling Stephen Fry. Stephen, let me on your show. I know nothing about British culture, so I'm gonna have to ask a lot of questions. But I can answer all your questions too. And then be like the worst panelist ever, like lose to Alan, you know, that kind of thing.
I'll be your Moraka.
Yeah, my Mor. It gives me a new love for David Mitchell. Anyways, no, that's QI stuff. But the great thing about QI is you can watch it while playing other things, like the game that I've been playing for the last several days now, and on and off for about 10 years now. It's essentially a sports game. I'll give you the heads up. And it has all the same failings that most sports games do, where if you don't like the sport, you're bored of this. And most of the time you buy the new edition to get the updated rosters. Although I will say that this particular game development company, Out of the Park Developments, is fantastic at innovating their own games. But it's essentially top-down management of a baseball organization, and you draft players, you trade players, you sign contracts. You sign contracts with weird, crazy options and stipulations and incentives, and you have to manage an entire farm system, and you gotta hire managers and coaches and balance a budget and deal with an owner's expectations. And it's, again, kind of this whole, like, doing work thing, but it's really interesting. Like, if you watch your, you know, favorite baseball team, for those, you know, the very few of you, I'm guessing, who actually enjoy baseball, like me, you look at your, you know, whatever your teams do, like, no, why did you trade that player? No, why did you sign this player? What a waste of money, you fool. Why haven't you, you know, promoted this minor league baseball player yet? He's much better than the guy whose job he should be, you know, who has his job. And this game lets you put your money where your mouth is. It is its best estimation on, you know, where the current players are as far as their talent levels, their projected talent levels, things like that. And it counts for aging well, so, you know, your superstar baseball player won't be a superstar for all eternity. He's going to get older and his skills are going to erode. And so you have to be thinking organizationally, like, who's going to replace him when this guy retires? Oh, we'll trade for this minor leaguer and all the stuff. You can simulate the games, too, like, all the way down to each individual pitch. Which gets a little ridiculous. But it's not the kind of game where you press B to throw the ball, press X to swing the bat. It's not like that at all. It's, you just kind of tell, you can be the in-game manager and be like, all right, you just pitch to this guy.
Yeah, you can say like, Smith is, you know, He's got way too many runs. Pull him out and put him.
Exactly. You can. But the thing is, you got to manage warming up the bullpen because the bullpen's where your relief pitchers are, and so you'll have like your pitcher down in your bullpen. But if you don't warm him up, he'll come in cold and be terrible. Or he might not be, but you don't want to do it. It can hurt him. So you got to remember to warm guys up first and make sure they're warm before you put them in the game. And you got to think about double switches where you put a pitcher in and pull a position player out and substitute them with someone else so you can rearrange your batting order. And oh my gosh, you can throw it, guys. That's important to be able to throw it, guys. Every baseball game needs to have the option to throw it at somebody because, yeah. God, I remember years ago we were playing an Xbox baseball game of some sort, and a groove went inside and hit my buddy. He's like, oh man, I almost hit him. And he's like, oh man, I'm gonna rush the mound here. So I throw at him and just hit him, and then it says, press A to rush mound. He's like, oh, I'm doing this! And so he just kind of turned into a giant beanball war. Most of our players were ejected, we couldn't finish the game, stuff like that.
We need real baseball! Yeah,
exactly. When you get to
mascots are
exactly each
other. They're foam hands.
Well, the funniest part of it, I mean, any baseball game in general is when it, like in games where you've had like a lot of substitutions or players have been ejected or hurt or you're going into extra innings, you don't get to bring players back into the game after they left the game. Once you're out of the baseball game, you're out of a baseball game. So you can literally like come in to run for somebody and, you know, get thrown out on the next play and, you know, trying to steal a base or something like that, and then you're out of the game. That's it. That's all you did is you come in and failed at something, and then, you know, that sort of thing. But when you do these extra inning games, you usually have a lot more pitchers on a team than you do, or not more pitchers, but more pitchers available than you do position players, because you got 8 starters and your starting pitcher. And so when you sub these guys out as pinch hitters, or you put in defensive replacements, or they got hurt, or they got in a fight, or whatever, you eventually start to find games where like shortstops are pitching, pitchers are playing the outfield, things like that. And they're always everyone's favorite thing is when a non-pitcher pitches, because that means they pitched in college, or they pitched in the lowest level of the minors, or something like that. And they haven't pitched in 5 years. And like, all right, let's see what they got. Like Kansas City had a shortstop who actually threw a pretty wicked 94 mile per hour fastball, and he's so bad at shortstop, they sent him back to the minors. Like, okay, we're gonna make you a pitcher now. How's that sound? We really think you're that bad at playing your batting that we'd rather not have you bat anymore. Let's have you throw. But that's a cool kind of stuff. Like, this game will account for that. If too many guys get pulled or get hurt or whatever, there's no press Y to fight button either. But you'll have to deal with your bench and who you have left and who's pitching and who's batting and who's playing the field and things like that. But this is like the civilization of sports games, like the actual civilization franchise. Let's say just one more year. Just one more year. Oh, I need to check all my cities and make sure they're up to date and they're building progress and research a new thing and then do this and then change my this and have a revolution and build more railroad tracks and automate more workers and just everything you do on every turn of civilization and have these guys wait at the border some more and just keep mashing spacebar until you get to someone you actually want to do something and so many different little nuances to think of every turn of civilization. Same thing with out-of-the-park simulations. You go, okay, play today. Oh, we lost. That's a bummer. Okay, the day's over. All right, let's take a look. Auto-fill my minor league. Ooh, this guy's hurt. Put him on the disabled list. Call up a substitution. Make a trade. Sign a free agent. Reorganize this. Release these players. Just... And the next thing you know, it's like, oh my god, I was supposed to be in bed 3 hours ago. Okay, just one more day. So they release a new edition to this game every year, and they've gotten a bit innovative. They had a version for iPad as well, I think, and so on and so forth. It's just a brilliantly done game, won all kinds of video game awards for that, you know, genre of sports simulation, and it's hard to put down, especially when you're like, oh, I hate this player, trade him away. I'll trade him away for nothing, and I lost my own franchise. I hate him so much. I'm firing you because you're a jerk. You have to be all super petty. I usually get like too involved with the players. I'm like, no, we signed this guy when he was 17 years old and now he's 24 and terrible, but I can't just cut him. But I got this young hotshot right up coming up behind him who's gonna beat him for the spot, and but I can't, he's my favorite. Well, if you have a favorite player on the team that you know would be a wise business decision and baseball decision to trade this guy to this team for a crop of other players who fill more holes in your organization and, you know, give you something to grow on in the form of, like, minor leaguers, but you're like, but no. But I grew him myself. I watched him blossom from an awkward 17-year-old player. And he's making too much money, but I want to keep him.
I've ran the Rockies absolutely broke so many times. And the owners having to, like, bail me out and stuff like that. I'm like, crap. I have, like, the best team imaginable. And I can't trade any of these guys because nobody can give me even a remotely fair return. Or the guy's just making too much money, even if he's worth every penny of it. I'm like, No. I'm having to, like, trade away, like, you know, steaks for scraps because I'm so far over budget. I'm like, oh, God. It's like having to, like, part with, like, your favorite action figure or something like that. Like, fine, I'll trade you Charizard, but... It's that kind of a thing. And I always play it on, like, the simplest mode, too. I just like boosting my own ego and be like, that's right, I'm really good at everything. I make the best trades. We won 9 World Series in a row. We're the best ever. Yeah. Oh, God. And there's always the online aspect of it as well, which seems silly, but, like, everyone will download a file from a central location, and then they'll make all their changes to their team, make their trades or signings or promotions or demotions, and then submit it back to the commissioner. He'll upload the file with everyone's changes and then republish a website which has, like, the league updates and who's doing what and what players are on other teams and whatever.
Yeah.
So you play... I mean, you want to play with as many live people as possible, but you can set the single team to an AI team. I always hate doing that because they make all these ridiculous moves. And, like, especially when it comes to, like, free agency, you know, when players' contracts have expired and they're available to be playing for any team they want, oh, my God, the computer makes, like, just the dumbest signings ever. And usually it would be, like, usually when you play against the computer, yes, it kind of operates with, like... It signs as many guys as it can or makes a million zillion moves. When anyone play that line, it's like, yeah, I really just need to, like, trade this one guy. And then, like, someone, they accidentally hit the, you know, computer do this for me button, and it makes offers to, like, 30 free agents, proposes trades, spends money, extends contracts. It's like, no, I just did this one thing, and now you've wasted $18 million of my organization's money, you fool. What were you thinking?
It sounds like the only thing lacking is having personalities on the AIs, like the,
There are personalities on the AIs.
Like the Civ, whereas, like, Montezuma is always like, I'm gonna butcher out the one.
Never happy.
You can kind of do that, though. Not quite as literal as, like, oh, look at this, it's Tony... Oh, crap, I can't remember the one of the Angels, but... Joke aside, like, oh, look, it's George Steinbrenner, the former owner of the Yankees before he died. Look how angry he is. Sign more players! It's not quite like that, but you can actually, your owners will have personalities. Like, they're an economizer, or they're a win-now kind of guy, or they're whatever, how much money they have, what their expectations are, and that kind of, they get angry at you if you don't do very well, or at least meet their expectations, and they cut your budgets, and you can... get yourself fired from a game where you're, that's not even, like, I've been fired before in this game. I'm like,
by the owner?
Yeah! I'm like, I know I'm bad at this, but come on, I'm learning. And the older versions of it, you could actually, when you were playing as a commissioner, like, where you had to administer the game. I go and edit players all the time, but, like, oh, this guy's pretty good, but what if I did this and turned his, you know, his, on a scale of 20, his 14 to an 18. Ooh, now he's elite. Yes, we're gonna do that. And yeah, oh, this guy's got an career-ending injury. No, he doesn't. We'll say it's a 30-day injury, so at least I'm being kind of fair. Or maybe I'll make him miss the rest of the season, but no, his career's not over. That's not fair. That's not fair.
It's a miracle! Pushy miracle.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. I used to frequent the Something Awful forums all the time, especially in their sports section. Because, God, sports humor is just my favorite humor. It's so self-deprecating and hilarious. But they had a guy do a similar simulation game. It's called Baseball Mogul. And he made, like, he draw right up the entire narrative on what's going on and how, like, the heroic Kansas City Royals, whose owner was George Steinbrenner, the general manager was the detective from Twin Peaks, and they signed all these ridiculous personalities from baseball, and he'd make up a persona for them, like, like this one guy's like a total internet weirdo, but he claims he has Asperger's, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. And he's like, whatever, I'm not just super awkward, I'm autistic, come on. I'm like, shut up, Jack Cusk, no one likes you. I mean, it's nothing to find a joke about, it's just the concept of somebody who's actually faking this so they can just kind of explain away their social anxiety or awkwardness or whatever. But then they also had, like, zombie Babe Ruth coming back from the dead to play for the San Francisco Giants, and oh my god, I remember at one point they hired a player who has a notoriously hot wife just so she could create drama on the team and stuff like that. And the guy's making this all up as he goes and having to fudge results to make sure that the Royals made the World Series against the Giants so they could beat Zombie Babe Ruth. It was amazing. But yeah, I've nerded out about baseball enough.
All right, and on that note, we'll call it end of the podcast here. Check us out on thegameslave.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Just search for The Game Slave on any of those things, and you'll be sure to find us. Have a great week. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.